Today's daf is Kiddushin daf Samach Aleph. We are holding on daf Samach and Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page of Samach and Beis. Yesterday we had a Mishnah if a man was Mekadesh and Isha and he made it dependent on Masayim Zuz, and we had four different permutations of how he makes it dependent on Masayim Zuz. So in today's Mishnah we're going to discuss it. In the first Mishnah at least we're going to discuss if he's Mekadesh and Isha and he makes it dependent on a base core of Karka, and we're going to have three different cases where he makes his Kiddushin dependent on karka. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, in general, whenever a person says that there's a certain amount of karka that he's measuring, do we count the areas that are 10 tfachim deep or 10 tfachim high off the ground as part of that karka? So the Gemara is going to talk about that halacha with regard to being makdish asadeh. We're going to talk about that halacha with regard to being mocher karka, when you sell karka, and then we're going to see the differences between hekdish and mechira. And we say, where does Kiddushin fall in the mix? What if a person is Mekadesh and Isha with this condition that he has this amount of karka? How do we deal with the areas that are very high or very deep in the karka? Do we treat it like Hegdish or do we treat it like a Mecher? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Samech Aleph Amud Aleph is going to introduce the concept of Mishpatei HaTanaim, that we learn from Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, that there are protocols in how to make a binding condition. So we're going to have a Machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, whether a binding condition requires a Tanai Kafel, and we're going to discuss where each one gets their opinion from, how each one interprets the Psukim about the Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain, and then toward the end of the daf, we're going to begin to start to bring challenges against Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel from different places where the Torah seems to be Kofel Devarav, where the Torah seems to make a Tanai and goes out of its way to say, if yes, then this, and if no, then this. Why would the Torah need to do that, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel? Even without a Tanai Kafel, it would be binding. So in total, there are going to be seven challenges to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, but only three or four of them in today's daf, and then the rest of them in tomorrow's daf, Bezos Hashem. So let's begin at the Mishnah on daf Samach Amin Beis. Al Menashe Yeshli Beis Kor Afar, Harizim Kadashas V'Yeshlo. If a man is Mekadesh Nisha, Al Menashe that he has a Beis Kor Afar, so she's Mukadashas, provided that he actually has a base core of afar. Means a certain amount of land, a place that you can plant 30 sa'a, and so it's a certain sizable piece of land. Second case, Almanashi Yeshli B'makom Ploni, if he says Almanashi to have a base core of afar in a specific location, meaning that I own real estate in this spot, so Yeshli B'osa Makom Mekadeshes V'mlavin Mekadeshes, then he must own it in that spot. And if he owns real estate in that area, she's Mekadeshes. If not, she's not Mekadeshes. Third case, Almanas She'erech Beis Kor Afar. If he says, Almanas, that I'm able to show you this amount of real estate, Harezu Mekadeshes V'yerena, then she's only Mekadeshes if he actually has that amount of real estate that he could show her. But V'mhera Bebika in a Mekadeshes. If he just goes to a random spot and says, see all this land, but it's not his, he's just showing her land, then it's in a Mekadeshes. The understanding is that when he says that I'm going to show you a lot of real estate, it means show you that I own a lot of real estate, and that's what you're marrying into, very similar to what we said about the money yesterday. Now Tosfos in Maseches Basra and Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis quotes a Yesh Omrim that there is no such thing as a person that doesn't have land, either because Kol Echad MiYisrael, every Jew has Daled Amos in Eretz Yisrael, or because every person has the Daled Amos where he's going to be buried, and that ultimately is going to be his piece of real estate forever and ever. So Tosfos says, "But wait a second, what do you do with our Mishnah? It says Almanashi Yeshli Karka, and then it turns out if he doesn't have Karka, she's Eina Mekadeshes. How could it be that there's ever someone who doesn't have Karka? Sounds like from our Mishnah that there is such a thing as someone who doesn't have Karka." So the Acharonim ask, when we say over here that it could be he doesn't have Karka, we're not talking about doesn't have Karka, we're saying doesn't have a base core of Karka. That certainly is possible, meaning tells us this whole idea that everyone has a piece of land is that everyone has Dalet Amos. But if he says Harei Mekadeshli Almanashi Yesh Karka, maybe in a Chirami, she's Mekadeshes B'Toras Vadai, without bringing any witnesses or any proof that he owns any land, because everyone owns that amount of land. Maybe that's the answer to Tosfos Kasha. Why didn't Tosfos think of this? That's what the Achronim raised the question. Why didn't Tosfos realize that that's the difference between these two cases? The Behuda, though, in Madur Tinyan, Avnezah Simen Pei Dalid, says that you could prove that our Mishnah is speaking about, even if he just says Almanashi Yishli Karka, and not Almanashi Yishli Beis Kor Karka, and that's why Tosfos is bothered by this Kasha. Because if we're just saying Almanashi Yish Karka, that Beis Kor, that if it's only Almanas that he has a Beis Kor, but someone were to say Almanashi Yishli Karka, she would be Mukadashas even without Eidim. So when the Gemara makes a Tzrichusa, why does the Tana, the Gemara is going to ask, why does the Tana have to mention this din in our Mishnah? Isn't it the exact same din we had in the previous Mishnah with money? Almanas that they have the money, so you got to prove you have the money, and if you don't prove you have the money, then it's Eidim Mukadashas. So what's the Kasha the Gemara is asking? It's not the exact same din. Meaning, if it were true that Almanas Yeshli Karka, she would be Mukadashas automatically, it's only when he says a sizable piece, like a base core, that it's totally on whether he's able to prove it or not, then the Gemara's Kasha doesn't get off the ground. That isn't this the exact same din as the previous Mishnah? It's not the exact same din, because over there, by money, no matter what amount of money he says that he has to be able to prove that he actually has that amount of money. So it wouldn't at all be the same din. So says Gemara now, V'necho Shemi Yeshlo, why aren't we Choshesh, at least as a Safek, even if he doesn't prove that he has that amount of land, why aren't we Choshesh that maybe he has that amount of land, and therefore it should at least be a Safek Mekudashes? V'o Tanya Chashin Shemi Yeshlo, plus we have a Brisa that says that we in fact are Choshesh, that maybe he has that amount of land, even if he hasn't yet proven it. That's true. That if a man is Mekadish Nisha Almanas, that he has a base core of land, and he hasn't proven anything, she's Safek Mekadashas. When we say she's Eidim Mekadashas, we mean she's not Mekadashas Vadai. But we're definitely Choshesh that there might be a Kiddushin. So, frankly, Gemara, why do we need to say the same din by land that we already said when it comes to money? We already said that if he makes a tenai, that he's only Mekadish Nisha Almanas, that he has money, he has to prove that he has the money, and short of that, it's a Safek Mekudashas. It says Mar Tzricha. Now, we need both Mishnayis. If it only would have said about money, so I would say, well, money is easy to hide. So we have to be Choshesh that maybe he has money, but he's hidden it somewhere, and we don't know where it is. It's in his mattress. You can't hide real estate. One would have imagined that if he has real estate, that it would have a call, people would know about it, and therefore we shouldn't be choshesh, maybe he has real estate. There's no such thing as a maybe he has real estate. No one has it if we don't know about it. And that's why the Mishnah has to tell me that no, we do not distinguish between money and real estate, and it could be that he does own real estate that we don't know about, and that's why she's still going to be Safek Mekudashas, even if he has not yet proven that he owns that real estate. Then the Mishnah said, if he says that I have real estate in a specific location, so then she's only Mekudashas if he has it in that location. If he doesn't have it in that spot, she's Eina Mekudashas. Frakta Gemara again, Pshita. This is also obvious. That was the Tanai. Of course he has to fulfill the Tanai. What's the Chiddush? So Ma'al D'Temar Amrla Ma'inafkalach Mina Anat Tarach L'Masina. One might have thought that he could say to her that what difference does it make to you whether I have real estate in that spot or not? The point is that there's land that's producing something, and I'm going to bring home that money. So it's what difference does it make to you how much of a commute I have to work? So I'll have a longer commute to work, but I'm bringing everything home anyway, so it shouldn't make a difference to you. So Kamash Mulan, therefore, comes to teach us that it does make a difference, that she wants it specifically in that place. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, that the same is true if he says, Amanashi Yeshim Masayim Zuz B'makom Ploni, and he doesn't have it in that makom, that it's Eina Mekudeshes. So the Rishonim point out that L'chora, one could take issue with this Rambam. The Tosri HaZaken writes that the Rambam is not necessarily correct, because it could be based korafer b'makom ploni. If he doesn't have it in that place, it's ena mukadeshes, because she's makbid that it should be in that place, either because the chashivas of that place, or the location, how close it is, or the metzranos that they happen to own other land in that area. But almanas that I have 200 zuz b'makom ploni, she doesn't care where the money is. Money could easily be moved. But the Rambam seems to understand that no, it's all about his words. He said, I have it in that place, so it's got to be in that place. Pashtus, you would think, is like the other Rishonim, that when it comes to real estate is unique in that it can't be moved. So location, that really matters when it comes to real estate. What's the Kamash Malan? It's a Hava Minas that he could say to her, what difference does it make to you? I'm going to bring it to you. You're never going to see that land anyway. This is not a place where we're building our house. This is a place where I'm growing wheat. I'm bringing the wheat home. It doesn't make a difference to you. Kamash Malan, that it does. So the Kamash Malan is either that it makes a difference because there's chashivas in owning real estate in a certain location, and she was accepting the Kedushin Almanas that he's a chash of a person that he owns in that location, or that maybe it really does make a difference to the marriage how much of a commute he has. He's going to come home exhausted. It's going to take him longer to get home. So she wants him to be Melacha Krova Le'ir. She wants him to work nearby. Almanasha Erich Beis Kor Afar. If he says Almanas that I will show you a Beis Kor of Afar, so it means that it has to be his. So Tanulam Skavnazu Eliros Mishalo. That's what we explained, that it has to be that her intention clearly was that it should be his, not that he's able to show her a certain amount of land. You could show her a vast amount of land, go out to Middle America somewhere, and you just drive for miles and miles and show her so much land, but that's not what she was interested in. Vimhera Bibika Ena Mekudashas. And therefore, if he shows her Nabika, it's not Mukadeshes, it's got to be his land. Says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious? So Lotshicha Dinakat Bidistura. No, the case is not that he was showing her random land that he has no sheichas to. We're talking about land that he is an aris on, that he's a sharecropper on. So he doesn't own the land, but he's going to get a share of all the crops in that land. So you might have thought that counts as his land. So that's why Kamash Malan, that it doesn't. Similar to what we said yesterday with the money, that if he shows her money that someone had given him to invest in a business, so you might have thought that counts in as his money. Kamash Malan, that it doesn't, because if he can't do whatever he wants with it, it's not his. If he's limited that he has to only invest it in that business, then it's not really his money. Okay, so now we're going to discuss how we deal with a certain amount of land when the land has areas that are 10 tefachim high off the ground, rocky areas that are off the ground, and holes in the ground, ditches in the ground. How do we deal with the halachos of that land? So we're going to discuss how we deal with it when it comes to dinim of Hegdish, when it comes to dinim of Mekach Umemker, and all of that is going to be to bring it back to Kiddushin. He says, I have a base core of Afar. What if some of that land is rocks that are 10 tefachim high, some of that land is ditches that are 10 tefachim deep? So when it comes to discussing Hegdish, it's important to know a little bit of background. A person who's Makdish a Stei Achuza, a person who's Makdish a field that he received as Yerusha during the time that Yovel is Noheg, he could be pulled to that field based on a specific value set in the Torah. Vayikra Perach of Zion, Pasuk Tez Zion, Zera Chomer Saorim B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. Land where you can plant a Chomer of Saorim, a shear that we call a base core, can be redeemed for 50 shkalim. And it doesn't make a difference the quality of the land. It could be the best land, it could be the worst land. Any land you could plant a base core is considered to be, regardless of what its actual value is, you could be poded with 50 shekel kesef. So now, Gabe Hektish Tanan, the Mishnah Narach and Dav Chaf Hei tells us, when it comes to Hektish, HaMaktish Tadeu B'Shase Yovel. If a person is Maktish his field, when Yovel is no egg, no in Bezerah Chomer Saorim, he pays for a piece of land that you could plant a Chomer of Saorim, 50 shekel kesef. Because that's what it says in the Psukim. What if in that land you have areas that are 10 tefachim deep or that are 10 tefachim high? Ein nimdadim ima. They don't count as part of the measurement with the field to be redeemed with that amount. They have to be redeemed for whatever they're worth independently. So you take that ditch that's 10 tefachim deep and say, how much would a person pay for this ditch? $5? Good. So it's $5 to be poda. pachos mikan, but if the areas in the field that are uneven are less than 10 tefachim high or less than 10 tefachim deep, then nimdadim, then they get measured with the rest of the field as part of the zera chomer saorim for chamishim shekel kasef. Va'avinan ba, so the Bnei Yeshiva asked about this Mishnah, nihida ba'hadei ara lo kitshu, granted you want to say that you're not going to count it as part of the broader land because it's so separate from the land, but nikta shubapin avshayu, why don't we measure it at least as its own karka to be poda based on that same zerah chomer saorim, just as a separate land that it's why would it be b'shavio all of a sudden? It is a steachuza, and you are being matdish it together with everything else. So v'chi tema kamed lohavi beiskur lo chashiv. Well, if you're going to say anytime you're being matdish something that's less than a beiskur, you can't have this whole din of being poda for that amount of money, and that's why the Mishnah says ein nimdad nima. So Reminu, but I'll ask you a stira from a brisa. You know, it says in the Torah that in misteach uzaso yaktish ishla Hashem. So the word stay is extra. Stay, it could have just said imeach uzaso yaktish Hashem. Matam alomer. Why does it have to say stay? Lefishenemar, because it says in the same pasuk zerach chomer sorim bechamishim that when you have zerach chomer sorim, you pay chamishim shekel kasef. Say in the ala shehiktish binyan hazeh. You might have thought that the whole din only applies if you're maktish that amount of land. Minayin l'rabos lesech v'chatzi lesech sa'a tirka v'chatzi tirka. How do I know that the same applies even if you're maktish much smaller amounts of land? V'afilu rova, even a quarter of a tirkav, which is a very tiny piece of land. Minayin, how do I know that the amount that you're poded for should be based on the proportion of chamishim shekel kesef for a base core? So you proportionally take that amount for the smaller piece of land. That's why it says stay, to tell me no matter how tiny the piece of land is, you always go with that money. So therefore the question still stands. Why don't we measure each of these ditches and each of these high areas in the land as their own separate? You don't want to make it part of the base core, fine. But as its own separate land that you were makdish, that should be measured based on the measurement of the Torah. So Amar Maruk v'Barchama Hacha b'Nekayim Aleim Mayim Eskinan. No, we're talking about not just ditches in the ground, but ditches that are full of water where you can't plant anything. The Torah said if you are makdish a zera chomer saorim, that's where you have this din of chamishim shekel kasef. Zera means ru'uya l'zriya. This land is not roi for any zriya, so that's why you're poded it just based on its actual value. So if it's not full of water, then ain't a chinami. Then it would be included in this din. Dekanami, and it's meduyik this way that we're talking about that it's full of water, because we say that you have something that's 10 tefachim deep, similar to a rock that's 10 tefachim high. Now, what's unique about a rock in terms of a field where you're trying to plant things? You can't plant on a rock. So too, the area that's deep, that's 10 tefachim deep, has to be an area that you can't plant on. Why can't you plant? Because it's full of water. Shmamina, so we see we can learn from that diuk that we're talking about it's Malayim Mayim. So, well, if it's full of water, then even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it should also not be measured together with the field. You can't plant anything in a ditch that's full of water, even if it's only 8 tefachim deep. Why do we care? Why do we say only if it's 10 tefachim deep? It says, that's what we just call the bumps and the crevices of the land. We don't view that as a separate land. We consider that batel to the larger piece of property. So that's in terms of hegdish. What about in terms of a sale when you're selling a piece of land? So gabe mecher tanan, we learn in the Mishnah Maseches Basra when it comes to a sale, homer l'chaver beis kor afar ani mochlach. Someone says to us, right, I'm going to sell you a beis kor of afar. V'hayusham nekayim amukum masar tefachim. And there were these ditches that were 10 tefachim deep. Oslam gavah masar tefachim einim dadimma. It doesn't count toward the beis kor that he has to give him as a result of that sale. Rather, he has to give a beis kor of karka aside from all the nekayim uslaim. But pachos mikan, if the nekayim uslaim were less than 10 tefachim, then imdadimimah, then they can count toward the base core that's included in the sale. V'amar Maruk v'Barchama, and Maruk v'Barchama, in explaining that Mishnah says, afal pi she'ein melayim mayim, that if it's 10 tefachim deep, even if they're not full of water, they're not included in the sale. It's just the measurement of 10 tefachim alone that excludes it from the sale. So my taima, what's the reason that even when you could have planted in the nekayim, they don't count count as part of the sale. Amra Papa, if he's not the Mirosa, Shitinus Mosa, Sadachas, Yuluk, Shem, Shosh Makamos. Person wants to buy a field. He doesn't want to buy multiple fields. And when it's 10 Tfachim deep, yes, you can plant there, but that's considered a separate field. And he's not interested in buying a separate field. Good, so now we pointed out that there's a distinction between the din of Hekdish and the din of Mecher when it comes to a base core that has 10 Tfachim deep ditches that do not have water in it. When it comes to Hekdish, only if it has water in it, it's not part of the land. If it doesn't have water in it, it is part of the land. When it comes to a Mecher, even if it doesn't have water in it, it's not part of the land. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, what if you're Mekadish and Isha, Al Manasseh, you have a base core, and there are ditches in the ground that are 10 Tfachim deep, but don't have water in it? Do we compare that to Hekdish and say, well, if it doesn't have water, it's part of the land, so it's good? Or do we compare it to Mecher and say, no, it's separate land, no good? So hachamai, la Hekdish medaminan la, o la Mecher medaminan la? What would we say over here in our case? Do we compare it to Hekdish, or do we compare it to a Mecher? Mistaver la Hekdish medaminan la. The Gemara says, most mistaver, that we compare it to Hekdish, that if it's not full of water, they're part of the land, and therefore it counts toward the Kiddushin. Because the whole reason by a Mecher, that it's not mitzarif, is because the lokeach is not interested in buying two or three different fields, because that involves a certain sense of tircha. But over here, who's going to be the one that's working the land? Damar la, anat tarichna v'zarana maisina. It was understood that she's not going to be the one working. In those times, it was understood that only the man is the one working, and she's the one that is supported by the husband. So since that was the understanding, she doesn't care how hard he works, that it's more of a tircha to have to go and take from the areas that are deeper, that are higher. She's not that doesn't bother her. She doesn't know or care about the details of farming. That's not her business whatsoever to worry about the details of farming. That was the assumption, that was the understanding. So that's why when it comes to Kiddushin, we're going to assume that the Tircha doesn't bother and it's going to have a din that's similar to Hekdish. Now we move on to Mishnah, one of the most Yisodistic Mishnayis in all of Kiddushin. This is about Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain. The Chachamim learned the dinim of Tanai from the Psukim in the Torah that discuss the Chalukas Ha'aretz, that after Klal Yisrael was Kovish Eretz Gilad on the Ever Yarden, on the eastern side of the Yarden, the B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain wanted to receive that land as their nachla and not receive land in Eretz Yisrael proper. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, sure, no problem, as long as you fulfill it tonight, that you come and you help out in Kibush Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Pesukim say. Vayomer Moshe Aleihem im yavru b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvain et chemes ha'yarden. Kol chalutz l'melucham l'fnei Hashem, if they go and they fight in the wars, v'nichbash ha'aretz l'fneichem, and they help conquer the land, u'nesadim l'mesaretz ha'gilad l'achuzah, then they will receive Eretz Gilad l'achuzah. But then Moshe Rabbeinu went on to say, v'im lo yavru chalutzim etchem v'nachzu b'sochem Eretz Kanan. If they don't come and help fight, then they're just going to get like everybody else. Then they're going to get a regular Yerusha in Eretz Canaan, just like everybody else. So Rameir Omer, Kol Tanai Sheinu Kathay B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, any Tanai that you don't have a Tanai Kafel, where both sides are explicitly stated, if you do this, this is what you get, if you don't do this, you won't get it, Eino Tanai is not a valid Tanai, and even if the Tanai is not fulfilled, the Maisa is still going to be Kayim. Because that's why the Torah went out of its way to say, by B'nei Gad, U'B'nei Ruvain, Shenemar, Vayomar Aleim, Im Yavru B'nei Gad, U'B'nei Ruvain, Uksivim, Lo Yavru Chalutzim. It says both sides of the Tanai by B'nei Gad, U'B'nei Ruvain. Rabbi Chanina B'Gamliel Lomer, but Rabbi Chanina B'Gamliel says, no, you can't be Medayik anything from Moshe Rabbeinu being Kofel Dvarav. Tzorach HaDavar Liomro, he had to say it both ways. He had to say what would happen if they don't come. Shel Malikin, because if he didn't say what would happen if they don't help fight, Yesh B'mashma Shafil Beretz Kanan Lo Yinchalu. I would have thought that, you know what, you don't want a peace in Eretz Yisrael. If you help us fight, you'll get the peace in Eretz Gilad that you want. And if you don't help us fight, you're not going to get any portion of Eretz Kanan, nor will you receive a portion of Eretz Gilad. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, no. If you don't fight, you'll just get a normal portion, like everybody else, a proportional piece of land in both Eretz Canaan and Eretz Gilad, just like everybody else, but there's not going to be this special land that's reserved for the B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain and Chatz Sheva Menashe on the Eivar HaYarden. So that's why it was necessary for Moshe to spell out the Tanai. Now the Rishonim all raised the question that Rav Meir holds the Tanai has to be like Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. So if you don't make a Tanai with all the Mishpatei HaTanoim, the Tanai is not going to be Chal. But when he's Megaladas, that the Maisa should not be Chal, if he doesn't give Masayim Zuz, the Maisa is not Chal because it's a Maisa B'taus, like we say in a lot of places, where there's an Umdana, that he doesn't intend to do this Maisa, then the Maisa is not going to be Chal, even if he doesn't say explicitly like a Tanai. So the Rishonim raise a question, when do we assume that that a Gilui Das is enough? That if it's clear that he only intends to enter into this agreement, Al Manas, that something happens, so that's good enough, he doesn't need to actually spell out it tonight. And when do we assume that he actually needs to spell out it tonight? Tosfos Maseches Ksubos in Daf Nun Vav says that that if we didn't have the parsha B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, a person would make a Tanai, the Mais would be Kayim even without the Tanai, because the Kiddushin is Chal with the Mais or Gershin. He doesn't have to do the parsha B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven is Mechadesh, that the person can make a Tanai where he could be Mevatel the Maisa that he did if the Tanai is not fulfilled. So if he does the Tanai, not like the Mishpatei HaTanoim, so the Mais would be Chal, the Gershin would be Chal, even if the Tanai is not Niskayim. But it's interesting that when we talk about the Mishpatei HaTanoim, our Mishnah only mentions one of them right now. The Rambam writes that there are that by Tanai there are four Tanoim to Tanai. It means four. It's just an ironic lesson that he used, but four criteria for a Tanai, that you need a Tanai Kafel, they need Hain Kodim Lalav, you need to say the positive before the negative, you need the Tanai Kodim Lamaisa, and you need a Tanai with something that's Efshar Lekaimo. So the Tosfos Yazak and the Magen Mishnah just asked, why does the Rambam leave out the din of Tanai and Umaisa B'davar Echad, that the Tanai is not Chal and the Maisa is Kaim? So he suggests that the Rambam understands that when we say in Gittin Daf Ayin Hey that Tanai Umaisa B'davar Echad, that's not Lahalacha. And then we follow Shitas Ravashi over there that you don't need Tanai Umaisa B'davar Echad. So it's not even clear how many Mishpatei HaTanayim there are. We already had earlier, Tosfos raised the question on the Vavim Beis. A guy says, here's an Esrog Al Manas, you give me back the Esrog. So it's a Matan Al Manas Lachzir. So he said, okay, if he gives it back, then Yotze. If he doesn't give it back, then he's not Yotze. So Tosfos raised the question, why if he doesn't give it back, he's not Yotze the mitzvah? He never made a Tanai Kafel, so the Tanai should be not binding, and the Maisa should be Kayim, and it should be a Matan anyway. So why do we say he just said Al Manas that you give it back. He never said, and if you don't give it back, then it's not a matani. He never said it's an ikafel. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, it's understood that all those cases throughout Shas, whenever we have a Mishnah in Shas that says Al Manas, it's understood that there's a Tanai Kafel. We're just not going to spell out the Tanai Kafel every time. Whereas the Baal Yatosis point out that maybe no, maybe when it's obvious, when it's clear and obvious what he means, then you don't need a Tanai Kafel. Tanai Kafel is only when it's less obvious. But then Tosus even quoted a shita we had in Daf Memtes. Tosus quoted a shita in Memtes Amud Beis that maybe the requirement for Tanai Kafel is only by Isra V'Heter. Now when it comes to Dini Mamunus, there's no requirement for Tanai Kafel at all when it comes to Dini Mamunus. So Tosus says, but that's crazy. How can you say there's no requirement for Tanai Kafel at all by Dini Mamunus? B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven is Dini Mamunus. It's about being Mechalek Karka. It's about dividing up land. So it is Dini Mamunus. So that's what the Achronim suggest. It's Dini Mamnus, but it may also be Isra V'Heter. When it comes to Chalukas Ha'aretz, we're almost at Yom HaTzmut, so when it comes to, it's not a Yom coincidence. So when it comes to Chalukas Ha'aretz is not only a din in Dini Mamnus, that this Sheva gets this land. Chalukas Ha'aretz is also a din in Isra V'Heter. Haraya, that it's a din in Isra V'Heter. Why is it that we don't observe Yovel nowadays? We observe Shemitah nowadays. Why don't we observe Yovel? Oh, so we know that in order to observe Yovel, you need Rov Yoshvei Aleha. The majority of the Jews need to live in Eretz Yisrael. Good. So why is it that in 2 years from now, when Rov Yoshvei Aleha, we're almost there, that with the intermarriage rate in Chutz La'aretz and the Haredim continuing to reproduce the way they are in Eretz Yisrael. We're almost there. Rav Yosef Ella. Why is it that we're not ready to observe Yovel? So the answer is, we only observe Yovel when each Shevet recognizes their Nachla, when each Shevet gets their portion in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Then we say that we're going to observe Yovel. What is Chalukas Haaretz have anything to do with Dinim of Yovel? So you see that Chalukas Haaretz is a Din. It's not just, it's not only Dinim Mamanus. It's a Halacha in Isra V'Heter. Even observance of a mitzvah is dependent on Chalukas Haaretz. And the further raya, when it came time for Yoshua to divide the land, so how does he divide the land? He divides the land with a Goral, and he divides the land Al Pi Urim V'Tumim. What do you need two different ways to divide the land? Well, a goral is a reasonable way to divide the land in Dinim Amunus. Brothers are dividing an estate, they don't know who gets what, so they make a goral, and that way they'll decide who gets what. But in terms of Isra V'Heter, so Goral is not going to determine the Isra V'Heter Shabbo, that they need Al Pi Urim V'Tumim. So there's Tzvei Dinim in Chalukas Haaretz. That's how they defend that Shita of, I believe it's the Shita Rashbam, that the whole Din of Tanai Kafel is only when it comes to Isra V'Heter, not when it comes to Dinim Amunus, even though Tanai Kafel is something that plays out so clearly over here by Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvin, which seems to be Dinim Amunus. So it says more further now. Shapir Kamalei Rebekhin Megamliel Rameh. Rabbi Chaim ben Gamliel seemed to have a really good point to Rabbi Meir, meaning he seemed to have a very strong taina that by the Tanai Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, it was necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to spell out both sides of what would happen, because otherwise we would not have known. We would have thought that they don't get anything. So Amalech Rabbi Meir Isal Kadaitach Lav L'Tanai Kafel Udasa. If you don't think that the second phrase is there just for Tanai Kafel, Lichtov Im Lo Yavum Noch Subsoch. It should have said that if they don't come, why does it have to say Be'eretz Kanan? Meaning it should have just said, and if you don't come and help out, you'll get a piece like everybody else. Why do you have to say where that piece is? Of course it's in Eretz Kanan. Lamali, why does it Be'eretz Kanan? Lamali, why does it have to say Be'eretz Kanan? Shema mina l'tanai kafel udasa. It must be that that's there to teach me t'nai kafel. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel would say, no, you don't need it t'nai kafel. You don't need it for t'nai kafel. Lokas rachman Be'eretz Kanan. Had it not said Beretz Kanan, Hava Aminim Vinoch Sub Sochem Beretz Gilad, Aval Eretz Kanan Klal Lo, I would have thought that the deal was that if you don't come and help out, you will get an equal portion of Eretz Gilad with everyone else, and you will get zero in Eretz Kanan, because you expressed that you're not interested in Eretz Kanan. So if you come help out, you'll get the entire Eretz Gilad, nothing in Eretz Kanan. If you don't help out, you're still going to get nothing in Eretz Kanan, but now even in Eretz Gilad, you're only going to get a proportional amount of Eretz Gilad. Rameir b'sochem kalecha dischum, Asher Rameir would say, no, b'sochem means wherever you may be. It sounds like it means everywhere. Tanya, we lived in a brayso of Chanan ben Gamliel. Mashal ma'adavar dome. The Tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made could be compared la'adam shei mechalik nechasav lebanav, to a guy who's dividing his estate to his children. Amar ploni b'ni yirasad plonis. Reuven gets field number one. Ploni b'ni yirasad plonis. Shimon, my son, gets field number two. Uploni b'ni yitin masayim zuziv yirasad plonis. And Levi, he's going to get the best field as long as he gives his brothers 200 zuz to compensate for the discrepancy. Vim lo yit. And if he doesn't give the 200 zuz, then he's going to divide equally with the all the fields equally with his brothers. Then all the fields are going to be divided evenly. So what caused the third son Levi to be yoresh when he's not mekayim the tanai of giving the 200 zuz to be yoresh with the other fields with the other brothers? Kfeilu garamlots, only because he said what would happen. Originally the father said that if he gives 200 zuz, he's going to get the third field, and we could have understood that if he does not fulfill the Tanai, he's only going to divide the third field with his brothers, but he's not going to get any part of the first two fields, and Kolshkein is not going to be Mekabel, his chelik in the third field kineged what the brothers got in the other two fields. It's only because of the Tanai Kafel that the father said that if you don't give the 200 zuz, then you're going to get with your other brothers, that he actually gets the other fields. So that's the mashal. Same is true with Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel. He's giving the Aseres HaShvatim Eretz Yisrael like a father gives Reuven and Shimon those first two fields. And Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, they're getting Eretz Gilad, b'tanai that they go and help fight in the war effort. effort, just like Levi only gets the third field b'tanai that he gives the Messiah Mezuz. So we could have understood that if they don't fulfill that t'nai, they're not going to get any part of Eretz Canaan, nor are they going to get a piece in Eretz Gilad that's going to compensate them for the fact that they didn't get Eretz Canaan. They're just going to get a piece in Eretz Gilad proportional to what the other brothers get in Eretz Gilad, to what the other Shvatim get in Eretz Gilad. That's what we would have understood. Says Gemara, V'halo damya, mashal l'masnisin. The mashal doesn't really match the Mishnah. So what Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says in the Mishnah. Hasam katani, in the Mishnah it says that without the Tanai Kafel, yesh mashma shafilu b'Eretz Canaan lo yinchalu. We would assume that they wouldn't get anything in Eretz Canaan, and certainly that they're definitely not going to get an Eretz Gilad, which is what they wanted. Alma kfeilu l'Eretz Gilad nami mahani. By being Kofel the Tanai, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that if you don't help out, you're going to get both in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Gilad, and they wouldn't have gotten anything without Moshe Rabbeinu spelling it out. V'hacha katani, but in the Brisa we say, mi garam lo lirish imachav b'shar nechasim kfeilu garam lo. What causes Levi to get a piece of land number one and land number two? It's the kefil of the Tanai. Alma kfeilu l'shar nechasim u'dekamahani. Land number three, Levi was going to get anyway, a piece of it anyway. It was only land number one and two that he wasn't going to get. So it doesn't really match Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel's sheet in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, lo kasha. Ha, mekami denemele ramer v'nochzu. Rabbi Chanin in the Mishnah, who assumed that without the kefel, B'nai God would not have received anything, not even in Eretz Gilad, that's before Rameir said that if the Torah wanted to be mechadesh, that even without a kiyum hatanai, they would get with the other shvatim, it could have just said v'nochzu b'sochem. So Gamliel thought that Rameir held that the whole pasuk is for this purpose, and that's why he said, no, without the pasuk v'nochzu b'sochem Eretz Canaan, without the entire pasuk, we would thought that they get nothing. But halal, and the other is after Rameir already told him, no, I admit it had to say v'nochzu b'sochem, I'm just concerned about the words Beretz Canaan. So then Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says the mashal, that just like the third son without the father spelling it out would have gotten the third field, so too had the Torah not added Beretz Canaan, the Bnei God would have only gotten b'sochem, meaning in Eretz Gilad, they only would have gotten a piece in Eretz Gilad. So the Torah has to spell out Beretz Canaan to teach us that they get a piece of Eretz Canaan as well. Good. Now the Gemara starts the challenges. We're going to start challenging Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel from all the different places where the Torah seems to spell out a Tanai Kafel, even though, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it's not necessary to say Tanai Kafel is self-understood. Bishlam of the Rameir, Tichsevim Tetav Seisvim Lo Seitav Lepesachatas Rovets. I understand, according to Rameir, that when Cain kills Hareg, kills Hevel, when Cain kills Hevel, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, listen, Im Tetav Seis, if you do good, you're going to get rewarded. And Im Lo Tetav, if you don't do good, Lepesachatas Rovets, you're going to have piranhas, you're going to have bad things happen to you all the time. So he spells out the both sides. According to Chanina, is it really necessary to say, once you say, if you do good, you get rewarded. Is it really necessary to say, and if you don't do good, terrible things are going to happen? So the Gemara, yeah, it's necessary. I might have thought that the deal is, if you do good, you get rewarded, and if you don't do good, you're not going to get rewarded, but you're not going to get punished either. That's why it has to spell out that if you don't do good, you're actually going to get punished. It's not that everything is just going to be pariv, and it could go one way or the other. So the question, what's the havamina? Shita l'anadumi raises the question. You would think that's the deal in life, is that you do terrible things and nothing happens. You do terrible things and nothing happens. But if you do good things, rewarded. So it's a no loss game that you can never lose. So the Shita lo nodalmi writes that since the dinim and onesh hasn't been expressed yet, meaning this is still at the very beginning of existence. So if it didn't say imlotative, he would have been ma'abed his chelik and olam haba, but he would not have been yorish kehenim. Meaning, one would have thought that he doesn't get a chelik and olam haba, but we don't even know that there is such a thing called gehenim yet. Maribe Rav suggests that certainly in lo tetiv there's going to be an onesh, but if it didn't say the kefel, we would have thought that the onesh is only in olam haba. So that's why the Torah say lepesach chatas rovets, meaning that there's even going to be onesh in olam hazeh for not behaving. But of course, there's got to be some type of onesh. onesh. There's no havamina that there's no consequences for doing terrible things. Bishlam the Rameir Hainadukhsiv Imti Nakame Alasi. I understand when Avram Avinu sends Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he takes a shvua not to take from the Benos Canaan, and he makes the Chalos Shvua Tali on a Tanai. So he says that if no one wants to go along with you for my family, then you're Tinakame Alasi, then you're clear of my shvua. But according to Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, why does he have to say it? Of course, it's understood. So why does he have to make the kefil? So Yitzchak Salkad Ad Chamina Heichad Nichala L'Dida V'Lo Nichala L'Diditu. I might have thought that when she's happy to go to marry Yitzchak, but her family's not, Maisi Bal Karchayu, that you should bring her against the will of the family. Kamashmalan. That's why Avram says As Tinaka Me'Lasi, that even if the Bnei Mishpacha aren't interested, then you're going to be naki from the Shvua. V'im Lo Tova Isha Lamali. Why then does he have to say Lo Tova Isha if she doesn't want to go? Yitzchak Salkad Ad Chamina Heichad I might have thought that if the family's interested and she's not interested, bring her against her will, that you don't bring her against her will or against the family's will. Bishlam the Rameir, a third challenge. The Torah spells out what happens if we do the laws of the Torah and what happens if we go against the laws of the Torah. Why do you have to say both sides? I might have thought that there's bracha for following the laws of Hashem, lo bracha velo klala, and if we don't follow the laws of Hashem, then we get neither bracha nor klala. And that's why the Torah has to tell us that there are all these klalos that happen in Bechukosei Temasu. So each time we have a Tanai Kafel that appears in the Torah, Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel has a reason that it has to be Kafel Dafka in that spot. And we'll continue on those challenges on Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel tomorrow.